You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Lauren.
Nicole.
Jeff.
Lillian.
Jocelyn.
Ava.
Episode 23.
Most professional fiction writers specialize in a single genre during the course of their careers. However, a few bold writers publish in several vastly different genres, and today on Writing Snippets, we're talking with one of those bold few, Jeff Savage. Welcome to Writing Snippets.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so to get us started, how about you tell us which genres you've published in, and if you want to tell us a little bit about your books, too, go right ahead.
Great. Well, I started about 10 years ago with Cutting Edge. That was my first book that I published, and that was a high-tech thriller published by Covenant Communications. And then my next book was Into the Fire, which was kind of a modern-day retelling of the story of Job. So, I don't know, family drama, something like that. Then I published the first two books in the Chandra Covington mystery series, and that's just straight female first-person mystery. After that, I published two middle-grade fantasy novels. You keeping track of all this? that's in the Far World fantasy series, and that was with Shadow Mountain. And then I published the fourth Nephite with Deseret Book, which is LDS, time travel, a little bit of fantasy action, for kind of a YA crowd. And then the most recent book that I had published was the third book in the mystery series, the Chandra Covington.
So you have covered tons of different genres right there. I wasn't keeping track, but it's something like five? Something
at least, like that. And that's just the published books.
So you said you started in high-tech thriller?
Mm-hmm. That was the first book.
Mm-hmm. And so after doing that, what prompted you to try out other genres?
Well, I didn't know enough at the time to really recognize, and as I look back now, that you want to build a brand generally. And so, you know, when I take a look at someone like you know, J.K. Rowling, that if she hadn't published, if Harry Potter hadn't been her first book, if she had published an adult thriller or something like that, that's probably what she would have stayed writing for a while. So for me, part of it was just an experience. I wrote Cutting Edge. After it had come out, it was really positioned as a guy book a lot. And as I started researching the industry a little bit, I started realizing that guys don't buy most books, especially in LDS fiction. It's something like 80% or more of people who buy LDS fiction are women. And so I kind of started leaning another direction, and that's what led me to Into the Fire. And Into the Fire, although it was one of my favorite books to write, sold really, really poorly compared to the first book. And I was like, wow, maybe I made a mistake here. And so I tried some other things. I wrote a horror novel, got a national agent for that. When I came back to Covenant again, I'd really kind of decided that what I wanted to do was write mysteries. And so I really stuck, at least with Covenant. All my books since then have been female first person along the lines of like a Janet Ivanovich or a Sue Grafton or something like that.
Okay, so you mentioned you've tried horror. What other genres or subgenres have you tried?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've got the horror novel that I actually got an agent with, asked for rewrites twice for Bantam, didn't get it published. It's actually, Covenant is considering publishing it as mainstream Mormon horror, which would be kind of fun just to say, hey, I did that. And I also had recently, just kind of out of the blue, a national editor request that. So it's actually with her as well. So there's that horror novel. And then with my agent who I have now, Michael Barrett, he's got actually two different projects. One is a young adult kind of urban fantasy that takes place in hell through the eyes of a teenage demon. And that was kind of different for me. And then I've got a series that will actually go out in June, two editors. It'll go on submission in the middle of June. And that is a middle grade, kind of humorous fifth grade horror. Kind of think like Goosebumps, but with a lot of, you know, fifth grade boy humor. So
it probably would have been quicker if you did have told us what you haven't read.
Yeah. That's right. No cookbooks or romance novels yet.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
chiclet.
That's right.
So let's talk from a business standpoint. How has writing in all these different genres affected the business aspect of being a writer for you?
Well, there's pros and cons. I mean, I think until you really get firmly established in whatever your niche is going to be, it's great to try out different things because you just don't know. When I started Far World, I was writing it to prove to myself that I couldn't do it. I'd never written for young adults or middle grade or anything like that. I'd never written fantasy, and I really didn't think that I couldn't, but I had this story that I couldn't get out of my head, and so I thought, well, if I write this, I'll prove to myself that I can't, you know. So I really encourage people to write different things, you know. There's a lot of people writing young adult right now because that's kind of the rage, but you know, if you look back 10 years ago, it was middle grade. You know, it was Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a lot of the books were focused on middle grade. And so I think it's great to try out different things. Once you are established, your editors themselves are going to kind of guide you either to stay in the genre, or occasionally, I know some authors who had written several books in one genre. Their sales had kind of gone down to the point where their editor came back and said, hey, you know, why don't you try something else? So we'd like to say that it's just all creative and we just write, you know, and you can until suddenly you're getting paid to do it. And once you're getting paid to do it, mm-hmm. you know, then kind of the business dictates to you a little bit what you're going to write.
Yeah.
Is that like a demotion?
Demoted. In a way it is. Yeah. You know, I mean, as an author, you're really frustrated if someone comes back and tells you, I don't want you to work on this anymore. But that really can't happen, especially in the national market. You can get in a downward spiral where you publish one book, it sells X amount, it doesn't do as well as they hope, they do the next one and publish a little bit less and down until, you know, you get three or four books out. And there's actually authors who have had to publish with an entirely different name because they've worked themselves, kind of painted themselves into a corner. So yeah, it can in a way be a demotion. Hopefully it's not.
So you were freelance and now all of a sudden you have a manager.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's nice. It's nice as an author to write a book knowing that it's going to get published. You know, that there's a great feeling of, I know this is, unless I totally screw it up, you know, this is going to go out. But there's also, you kind of miss that freedom when you could just write whatever the heck you wanted because, you know, no one was going to tell you you couldn't.
No one was going to buy it anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the negative side. Yeah.
So when you moved from writing for the LDS market to the national market, was it almost like starting over from scratch or...
To a big extent it was. In fact, that's why when I published my first book, I go by Jeff Savage. I answer to lots of things now. But when I published that first book, I realized that there was an author by the name of Jeff Savage who actually lived in San Jose, California, where I lived at the time, who had published a gazillion kids' sports books and different things like that and was really well known. And I, to me, at least, I thought, geez, if I publish as Jeff Savage, no one's ever going to find me in Amazon or whatever. It's going to be hidden amongst all his books. So I published as Jeffrey Savage. And then when I went to the national market, there were two things. One, kind of trying to separate the books. You know, I didn't want someone who read Far World to maybe grab Into the Fire and go, what, you know, what is this? This doesn't, you know, seem right. Mm-hmm. But there was also the side of it where the national market, one of the things they look at is your numbers. So if you've got a book coming out with Barnes & Noble and you're publishing as Jeffrey S. Savage and they go, well, gosh, he's published, you know, four other books and we've never ordered any of them, then right away they're not going to order very much. And so it's that same kind of thing I talked about, kind of painting yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
We've had quite a bit of success here in Utah publishing with what would be viewed as indie authors, and you have some leeway in that where a publisher, you know, a bookstore or a publisher will say, okay, I recognize that your previous books were with a smaller publisher, but it is very different marketing. It's very different writing to a national audience than it is when you're writing with a smaller publisher to a very specific targeted audience.
Now, I've heard of some authors changing to a pseudonym for one genre and using like their real name for another genre. Is that something you've ever considered doing?
Yeah, I think that long term, I've got one more Chandra book that I'll write. And then I suspect, and unless something really weird happens, that I'm probably done writing mysteries for the mainstream market just because mm-hmm. my focus is a little bit different. My anticipation right now, based on what I've done and kind of where it's going, is that probably as an author, for at least a reasonable period of time, I'm going to focus on younger readers, whether that's middle grade or YA, and specifically targeting the national market. But I will still... I'd like to be able to continue to do some LDS stuff as I have time. And so I like kind of keeping those two separated and just going, yeah, as Jeffrey S. Savage, you know, who knows? It may be a high-tech thriller. It may be a mystery. It may be something else, but it will be targeted in an LDS audience. And as J. Scott Savage, that's got to be more focused. That's mm-hmm. got to be, you know, part of your career.
So that's where you're building your national brand.
That's exactly right. And brand is exactly the word. That's what you're
yeah.
looking at.
Yeah. So when, even within the LDS market, you still wrote slightly different genres. How did your editors react to that? Were they positive about that, or?
They told me to stop it. You do have a little bit of leeway in the LDS market. There are a lot of readers who read a wide range of LDS fiction. They basically go into Siegel or DB and say, what are your latest books? And they read romance, and they read mysteries, and they read thrillers, and they read nonfiction. And you can get away with it a little bit more there. And so I think that probably Covenant or Deseret Book is a little more flexible on what they do there. But even then, if you nail something, you know, like with Josie Kilpack, who's really nailed her, you know, food-based mysteries, that's what DB's going to want, as long as those continue to sell. Now, if those kind of go down in sales, she may look at doing something else. But especially in the national market, there's a pretty good focus. You know, if you're writing middle grade and you're selling well, they kind of expect your next book to be middle grade. Now, if you're like Scott Westerfeld, who, you know, had done all this YA stuff and then decided he wanted to do this middle grade steampunk,
dystopia.
Exactly. That you can get away with that, I think, if you're big enough. Dean Koontz can kind of get away with that. But
you have to be pretty big to do that.
You got it. That's exactly right. And even then, you're going to take a drop. Scott Westerfeld, I think, knew that when, you know, he wrote Leviathan, that was not going to sell as well as his other series that he'd done, at least initially.
So are you working with an agent on the national market?
I am. Yep. I the first agent that I got when I wrote my horror novel was Jackie Sack at Bookends. And Bookends was great. They were really helpful. We didn't end up selling that novel, but she was good to work with. When I moved into fantasy and writing for younger readers, she really didn't do that. And at the time, I don't even think that her partner was either. And so I left them, and just over about a year and a half ago, I signed on with Michael Barrett of Distel and Godric, and he's been great to work with. And he actually represents a lot of stuff. He does, you know, nonfiction, adult fiction, kids, cookbooks, you know, and so it's nice.
So but what kind of input is he having on the types of genres that you're focusing on now?
It's funny. The first book that I gave him was Demon Spawn, which was YA, urban fantasy, really focused where I wanted to be writing and a target that I really liked. And to date, that has not sold. And so that was kind of sitting on the shelf. I didn't have another one to write right away. I hadn't given a lot of thought to what's the next YA novel I'm going to write. And as we were talking, I said, you know, I've got this book that, honestly, I don't think you're going to like. I mean, I really told him, I'm like, if you're not interested in it, don't worry about it. It's just something kind of sitting there that I started. I've got about 50 pages done and a 4-page synopsis. And it's about these 3 fifth grade boys that really love monsters. And one of them gets turned into a zombie and thinks it's like the coolest thing ever, you know. And I'm like, so take a look at it, but totally don't worry about it if you don't like it. And so when we did this follow-up phone call, we were talking about Demon Spawn and where that was going to go and what we were going to do. And we kind of decided to hold on to that for right now for some various different reasons that we were going to just kind of hang on to that. And then he's like, now I want to talk to you about this zombie kid. I just love this voice and this and that. What I'd like to do is get 3 books and I want to send these out and do, you know, and all these different things. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, it totally was not the response that I expected. But the nice thing about having a good agent is that he knew something that I didn't, which was that publishers are really looking for middle grade. And in particular, there's been a lot of interest in middle grade kind of horror. You know, it's kind of like, what is the next mm-hmm. big Goosebumps series going to be? And so he really nailed that. Now, since I started working with him that, I've seen several other agents talk about, you know, editors asking for that. And it's like, oh my gosh. And he's like, yeah, what do you, you know, you know, what do you think? I just was guessing about this. And I'm like, no, I guess not, you know. But so yeah, he has been helpful. In fact, he has really, he's made me do something I'm not used to doing, which is turning in a chapter by chapter outline. He's very big on kind of, you know, once you're with your publisher and your editor, I'll stay involved, but that'll be between you and your editor. But early on, you know, he really kind of has a vision of what it is that he wants to see sell. And so he wants to see the entire book in outline form so he can come back and say, ooh, this is a little bit too dark, or maybe this is too silly here, or we want to go this direction. You're turning this into a journey book and you don't want it to be a journey book. So he's been really helpful in that way.
So what if you weren't an outliner? What would you do?
Oh, I would cry. I am not an outliner generally. I'm a character author. I start out with a character. When I wrote Far World, I said, you know what? I want to have a main character who's a boy in a wheelchair. And I think it'd be really interesting to have a fantasy going through him. And then there was a girl, and what was her disability going to be? It couldn't be physical like his. And so I kind of worked on that. And then I kind of worked through the story. But I have discovered over time that if I force myself to outline, and for me, doing an outline is kind of like telling the story once and then having to tell it over again, which is why I don't like it. And I've given myself a lot of flexibility. Like I, even in this book that I'm finishing right now, this Zombie Kid book that we're going to send out in June, there were things that I had in the outline that I tossed out or things that came in. But it really gives you a direction. And it's helped me kind of to the point now where even if I don't do a formal outline, I know pretty well in my head what the next bullet points are going to be. And I've found that it really helps me as a writer to be able to sit down and go, here's what I'm writing today. Tomorrow I'm going to be writing this, and the next day I'm going to be writing this. Because if you're not outlining at all, and I mean, you definitely can do it, you know, and I've done it in other books, but then you're actually plotting, writing, and editing kind of all at the same time. And that's a lot to get right. So,
holy crap, you just convinced me. What else do you sell?
Exactly. And I'll just one other comment about the agent thing that's been really great for me is that he has made me really focus on my writing as a career as opposed to a specific project. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he'll say a lot is, you know, you're really focused on selling this particular project. And my job is to make sure that you have a long, successful writing career that's going to continue to grow and advance. And that's something that I really loved as an agent, because I think anyone can say, this is a great story. I know some editors, let me send it out. But a really good agent, I think, takes a look and says, you know what, timing-wise right now, here's what you need to bring it out with, and here's the level of publisher you need to bring it out with, and the type of deal that we're looking to kind of show, like on a resume, you know, you wouldn't want to be, okay, I started out as a salesperson, then I became a sales manager, then I became a VP of sales, and then I dropped back down to a salesperson. You know, that doesn't look good on your resume. And that's kind of the same thing in the national market. Publishers want to see you growing as an author.
Advancing.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly
and
it.
And that, dear listeners, is why we query agents.
Exactly right.
Yes. So, you've written in so many genres, and now that you're making the transition from adult to focusing mostly on the middle grade and the YA, have you had to change your mindset as you write?
Very much so, yeah. Once I get into a story, like people say, oh, you know, you wrote this female first-person mystery, you know, from the, you know, through the perspective of a, you know, 20-something-year-old girl, you know, how does that work? Or, you know, I wrote Demon Spawn through the eyes of a 16-year-old female demon. It takes me a little while to get into that mindset to really kind of understand the character. Once I get into it, it's easy. Like right now, writing fifth grade boys' humor, you know, you know that there's going to be burping jokes and, you know, some kid's going to tear his pants and, you know, they're going to talk about passing gas. And that's just, you know, it's what you write in that particular genre. And so once I'm into it, it's easy to crank on that. But when I finish a particular book, even if the genre isn't a ton different, if I'm finishing Zombie Kid and then I'm going back to work on, you know, Fourth Nephite, which is my YA LES time travel, even then, going back into that kind of different voice and pacing, it takes a little while.
Yeah.
And it really is very much, I don't think you can use the same voice to write middle grade that you can YA. It doesn't work.
Does it take you a while to sort of write yourself back into it?
Yeah. In fact, what I'll do is try to go back and read either other things that I've written or books that are written at the same level that I'm trying to write, just because when I wrote Far World, you know, I went and read Fablehaven, and I read Rick Riordan, and you know, all the things that I could read that were kind of adventures mm-hmm. written for that same target audience. And once you've read enough of them, you feel pretty comfortable in that voice. Even to the point that I'm kind of careful not to, like, if I'm writing middle grade, I try not to read a YA at that point. If I read completely adult or nonfiction or something, it doesn't throw me off. If you've ever read, like, a book written in present tense, and then you go back and try to write in past tense, and, you know, you write like three paragraphs and go, oh, shoot.
Absolutely.
So what do you do if you're doing two projects at the same time?
I try not to do two of them at the same time. If I have to, then what I'll do is write a good chunk of one. You know, let me write 5-10 chapters in this, set it aside, and go back and write the other one. We were just, my wife and I, Jennifer, as we were driving up, I was mentioning to her that one of the things that helps me when I'm writing is to finish a chapter and then write maybe a page of the next chapter and leave that open. So when I sit back down, I've got something to start with. But it really screws me up if we're going out to dinner. I've discovered it's a bad thing for me to leave a chapter hanging. If I close the chapter and get done and just stop, I can totally go out to dinner and not think about it. If I've left that chapter hanging, you know, then it's like there's a part of me that's really frustrated because it wants to go back and finish that story, you know. And so I try to do that same thing. If I've got to jump from one project to the other at the same time to get to a point of closure where I can not worry about that and set that aside, if I had to jump back and forth like on a day-to-day basis or something, I seriously don't know if I could do that. It's really hard for me to capture that voice again.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. So before we wrap it up, do you have any tips that you could give to writers who are trying out different genres?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I would say right away is give yourself permission to make mistakes. You know, I think as authors, we want to be perfect right out the door, you know. And so if you've been writing YA and you decide that you want to write an adult mystery and you write two chapters and it doesn't come out right, you throw it away and go, oh, that's garbage, you know. And if you'd given yourself a couple more chapters and said, hey, you know what, it may take me a little while, but I'll adapt to it, then it would totally click, you know. And so the very first thing is allow yourself to say, you know what, I may write a little bit of crap here that's maybe kind of garbage a little bit, but let me give myself some time, and I can always throw that out and you know, see if I find what I'm doing. And so I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is really don't limit yourselves. I mean, I think so much now we've found that almost nothing is purely one genre. I mean, if you take a look at paranormal romance, okay, I don't think anyone would have really known what you were talking about if you said paranormal romance 10 years ago. Yeah. Now that's a really common thing, but someone kind of took, you know, okay, and Twilight wasn't the first one, but that kind of idea of, okay, I want to take something other than a human, and I want to have what would really be viewed as a normal human, not totally normal, you know, but you know, a romance novel, but suddenly put in this twist. And so the thing, same thing can happen. What if I made my protagonist a guy instead of a girl? What if I changed it from being on Earth to a different planet, or from being underwater to in the air, you know? What if I gave this a mystery element or something like that? And so I think it's kind of fun to play with things. And it used to be that an agent or an editor would really clearly say, you've got to write in one genre. This has to be a mystery, or it has to be a romance, or it has to be sci-fi, or it has to be fantasy. And more now, you're kind of seeing people go, yeah, this is kind of cool. You know, my agent, I think she had a presentation that she would talk about an erotic werewolf mystery romance that she was using that as an example of combining genres. And her author, who was sitting next to her at this presentation, went, you know, I think I could write that. And she did, and published like 10 erotic mystery werewolf romances. Not that I'm suggesting that.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking with us. And we have a giveaway where anyone who comments on this podcast or the other podcasts that we're going to do with Jeff can win one of his books, a signed copy. And we have several, so plenty of chances to win. So thanks so much, and this has been Writing Snippets.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.